This evening we will be studying together Genesis chapter 22, the story of Abraham and his offering unto the Lord God his own son Isaac. We will begin reading together from verse 1 all the way through to verse 19. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Verse 12. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this precious story of Abraham offering his Isaac is a wonderful story and has a spiritual lesson for each and every one of God's children to learn. This particular story tells us that Abraham has offered his very best offerings unto the Lord, simply because within Abraham's heart, he has been filled with the love of Jesus, the love of God in his heart, above everything and all things, including his own son. Now keep in mind that Isaac, his own son, in Abraham's heart and in his sight and mind, is the most precious thing Abraham could have. In fact, Isaac values much more than his own life, simply because when Abraham was very, very old, 100 years old, and he had to wait for 25 years for Isaac to be born, and God, through his promises for the past 25 years, had promised Abraham that he will receive his descendants, his son Isaac. And if he can count the stars in heaven and the sand on the beach of the seas, then that would be the numbers of his descendants. And Abraham believed every single word of the word of God. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very important for God's children to believe every single word of the promises of the word of God. And if you falter or come short of believing all of the word of God, then of course you will not be able to offer the very best unto the Lord, simply because you have a spirit of unbelief. Now let us read together from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. My dearly beloved, the word of God tells us right here that God did tempt Abraham. It does not mean the word temptation comes from Satan. Not that kind of negative temptation, but rather that God would like to try what kind of faith that Abraham has on the Lord God, and how much does Abraham really love God. You see, the word of God tells us that every one of God's children that claim to believe in God must be tested. You see, faith has got to be tested, my dearly beloved. And the Apostle Peter tells us that the test of our faith, which would be much more precious than gold tried in fire, and that would be found to the praise and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read in 1 Peter chapter 1, the first epistle of Peter chapter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, the Lord God would like to give us the very best reward. And of course, the reward comes by testing our faith, just like the Apostle Peter says right here, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, faith that is not tested is not a genuine faith, isn't it? All faith must be tested, the Apostle Paul tells us. And if the faith that is tested with fire does not make it, well, then of course you will not receive any reward. And if the faith that is tested will produce the works of gold or silver and so on, then of course it will be rewarded. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us that our faith must be tested to know what kind of quality they are, whether it is of gold, of silver, of stubble or hay. And of course, if our faith that is being tested, a burn by the fire, then we will be saved, but we will not receive no reward. Now let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, we have to go through two kinds of testing. One is the testing of the flood. You see, once you overcame the testing of the flood, which means the testing of the world, and of course you grow up in the Spirit, and you are able to overcome the testing of the world, then the next testing would be the testing of the faith. And many times the testing of the faith may include the testing of death. Just like my teacher, Miss Esther Wang, was tested in the jail for 20 years for the test of her faith. And of course, she came out victorious. And I would say, personally, myself, she is a work of gold, you see. And someday she'll be rewarded for what she has done in the name of Jesus and being able to go through that test of fire in the jail for 20 long years. Now let us return to the story of Abraham. So in here, when it says God did tempt Abraham, it means God would like to test what kind of faith and what kind of love does Abraham has for our Heavenly Father. Likewise, be very prepared and be ready whenever the Lord God would give us some trials and tribulations in our life. It is simply because many times he would like to see the kind of quality of faith that we have in our Heavenly Father and, of course, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in here it says, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. My dearly beloved, the Lord's instructions for Abraham is crystal clear. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You see, my dearly beloved, the Lord God knows what we truly love and how much we love, isn't it? And many times, God would like to test our heart by taking them away from us temporarily in order for us to be able to know how much we love our Heavenly Father and vice versa, in order for our Heavenly Father to know how much we genuinely love him. For that reason in here it says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. So the instruction is crystal clear, to bring his only son to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. My dearly beloved, burnt offering means you have to slay your son, and of course, just like any burnt offering in the book of Leviticus, you have to chop them to pieces and burn it with fire. So the voice of the Lord and his instruction is crystal clear. And Abraham was given 3 days' journey to reconsider whether he could go back and not listen to the voice of our Heavenly Father. Or he would begin to doubt, why would God do such a thing, take away my son, and so on, isn't it? However, because Abraham has grown spiritually into absolutely mature in Christ Jesus and had known our Heavenly Father, he had every faith that if, for example, as Abraham offered Isaac, and he had every faith that God is able to resurrect Isaac whenever he wants to. You see, the faith of Abraham is what we call a perfect faith, where there is no question on our Heavenly Father. Abraham had known God enough to realize that God meant it well. Many times in life, my dearly beloved, there are trials and difficulties that do come across into our life. And that trials will shake us. And many times the enemy, the spiritual enemy, the devil, would come and tempt us and question us and put all kind of thought in our head and say, why would God do such a thing? You see, the enemy always point fingers at our Heavenly Father, isn't it? That's called the spirit of doubt and the spirit of accusation. But that's because the devil is the accuser. And the devil is always the one that comes in between our Heavenly Father and us, his children, isn't it? For that reason, we must be like Abraham, begin to know our Heavenly Father, and finally, totally understand our Heavenly Father, and simply trust him by faith. And this is what Abraham did. And if you notice in the past stories, Abraham did not consult with Sarah, his wife, simply because if he did consult with Sarah, you know what will happen. Sarah will think he's out of his mind, isn't it, to kill his own son. Imagine that. Abraham had known our Heavenly Father simply because in the past, while he was growing spiritually, he made a major mistake of consulting with Sarah. You see, when they don't have any children, Abraham told Sarah. And Sarah said, oh, you know what? It's so easy. All you have to do is get married to Hagar, my handmaid, and out of her, give birth to a child. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah, and as a result, Ishmael was born. However, down the road, Sarah told Abraham, cast out that born woman and her son. You see? And so as a result, Abraham was very hurt because Ishmael is Abraham's son, but is not the son of Sarah. So he had suffered and he has learned his lesson in the past. For that reason, my dearly beloved, right now, he had learned one thing, not to consult to any human intelligence, isn't it? There are times in life that we tend to resort to our own intelligence, or we resort to our friend's intelligence, or we resort to somebody else's counsel. However, every single counsel of the human intelligence simply always brings a disaster or negative consequences, isn't it? For that reason, Abraham had learned his lesson, and when the Lord God asked him to offer his son Isaac, he did not consult neither with Sarah, neither with anybody else, and simply because he knew that the Lord God meant it well, and that it was time for him to be tested of his faith and his love for the Lord God, isn't it? Now, verse 5 read, and Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now there is one obstruction right here, the young man. Imagine if Abraham were to permit the young man to go together with Abraham to the mountaintop and offer Isaac. When Abraham was about to kill Isaac, I can bet you, the young man would obstruct Abraham and would fight against Abraham trying to protect Isaac, isn't it? If you can imagine in your mind what the young man would do when they see Abraham was about to kill Isaac at that point of time. They might think that Abraham would be out of his mind of frustrations or depressions or something, right? However, Abraham was filled with the spirit of wisdom and told the young man to wait by faith. And he said right here, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You see, Abraham had so much faith in the Lord God that his word says right here, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham did not consult with the young man either, simply because Abraham had so much faith, had perfect faith, to the point that he knows that he will come back in peace with Isaac. Now verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, at this point of time, his son Isaac is old enough to carry the wood and is old enough to comprehend. You see, there got to be a burnt offering. There got to be a lamb for a burnt offering. But where is the lamb? My dearly beloved, if you are in the shoes of Abraham, what would you have thought and how would you feel? You see, if your son were to ask you knowingly that you're going to kill your son, how do you feel at that point of time, especially when you love your son beyond anything else? But Abraham had so much faith that he reassured his son. He said, son, don't you ever worry. The Lord will provide the lamb. You see, such a faith that Abraham had to the point that he already knew the answer before it happened. My dearly beloved, Abraham is the father of faith. There is a reason for that. Can we not see it right here? Simply because Abraham absolutely believed in God and do not even question and was not even moved when all of these hurdles that he had to jump over were given to him, including his own son asking that question. Imagine if you were in the shoes of Abraham. Wouldn't it move your heart? Not Abraham, though. Abraham was absolutely crystal clear that God is able to raise Isaac from the dead if he wants to. And so verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now there is a couple important points right here. Isaac was known as a father of obedience simply because he trusted his father in the name of our Lord Jesus. He trusted his father that he does not even move when the father bound him up and put it on the altar. Can you imagine if you were a little child, or perhaps a preteen or even early teen, and your father tied you up? The first thing you would do, you would run away, isn't it? In normal cases, you would say, wait a minute, why are you tying me up? Right? Why am I going to be the one that is going to be put on the altar? Wouldn't you think that way? Most children, at least at that point of time, they would do that and struggle. However, in this case, Isaac had absolutely trusted his father and trusted the Lord God and didn't even move. For that reason, Isaac was known as a father of obedience, absolute obedience. And Abraham is the father of faith. So it requires the cooperation of Isaac as well. For that reason, Isaac was also blessed as a result, as he obeyed his father. And that the blessings of Abraham goes through to his son Isaac and of course through Jacob. Now in verse 10, when Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, then verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. You see, the Lord God allowed testing to come to Abraham, even up to the last minute when he was about to slay his son, just to prove that Abraham will act out and mean every single word that the Lord had instructed him to do what he's supposed to do. And of course, finally, as the Lord watched whatever Abraham was about to do, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. My dearly beloved, God would never ever harm his own children. It is not in God's nature to destroy anyone for that matter. On the contrary, the God that we worship is a God of love. But our Lord God many times would like to test the quality of faith we have, just like our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in the book of Revelation that you must be faithful unto death. You see, faith must be tested. The Apostle Paul earlier, as I mentioned, in the book of Corinthians tells us that our faith must be burned with fire, must be tested with fire to know what kind of quality, whether it is of gold, of silver, or of hay, of stubble, and so on. So, it is not in God's nature to destroy anything because our Lord God is a God of absolute love. However, our Lord God would like to give us a reward, would like to give us a crown of life, and would like to test the kind of quality of faith simply because the Lord God would like to give us the very best of eternal reward. I remember vividly when I was going through my chronic fatigue. It was a test that no words can describe, and it was a test of absolute death. And finally, when I came out of it, I was beginning to get healing. And as I went to the restroom, the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And I was shocked to discover what God was doing was giving me the crown of life. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that restroom as I knelt down, as I heard His voice and gave praises unto God, was this. The voice of the Holy Spirit that spoke to me when I was in that restroom, as I went to the restroom and heard His voice, He said, James chapter 1 verse 12, I read, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." My dearly beloved, when the voice of the Lord spoke to me, as I was coming out of my chronic fatigue syndrome, I wept in tears, hearing the voice of the Lord. As I overcame that temptation, He meant it well. It was a test of death that I was supposed to receive, and I thought I'm not going to make it physically. However, I was wrong, my dearly beloved. It was a temptation permitted from the power of darkness to attack me. But as I endure that temptation, the Word of God tells me, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." My dearly beloved, when I heard that voice, I was weeping in my eyes because I felt in my heart that I do not deserve this crown of life. It is the grace of God that walked me through those difficult tests of death, tests of faith that was tested with fire. And my dearly beloved, for that reason, I can comprehend what Abraham was going through simply because Abraham was being tested for his faith, and in return, he was greatly rewarded. And today, as God's children, we also become Abraham's descendants by faith. And so verse 12 says, "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now, my dearly beloved, this few verses are very, very precious. In the place of Isaac is a ram that was caught in the thicket. And of course, the ram was offered as a burnt offering instead of his own son Isaac. This symbolizes that instead of his own son Isaac, God sent his only begotten son on our behalf to die on the cross and became the burnt offering in order to set us free from eternal damnations. For that reason, John the Baptist, in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 29, I read, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So instead of Isaac, his son, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, took the shoes and the place of Isaac and was offered on the cross as the burnt offering instead of Isaac. Now, my dearly beloved, the word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, in the place of Isaac is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 14 says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord will provide. The Amplified Bible writes, so Abraham called the name of that place the Lord will provide. So Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. That's how the Amplified Bible writes. And so as God's children, the Lord is always our Jehovah Jireh. No matter what you go through, no matter what problems you have, the Lord God always provides all of our needs, whether it is financially, whether it is materially, whether it is a solution to a problem. Our Lord God is our Jehovah Jireh, simply because our Lord God is always faithful to his children and there is no shadow of turning with him. Praise God. Hallelujah for this. And verse 15, I read, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, my dearly beloved, because Abraham had done such a beautiful offering unto the Lord from his heart, he has given our Lord God his very best, his only son, unto him, without even a shadow of a doubt, without even wavering in his heart. As a result, God has given him the very, very best and the greatest blessings of all mankind, that Christ Jesus was born a Jew. Christ Jesus was born descendants of Abraham, you see. He was not born Japanese, Chinese, or American, or Russian. He was born a Jew, simply because Abraham is the father of the Jews, the Israelites. And so the word of God tells us in here, in blessings I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now, what is the meaning of the stars of heaven? That means that today, as born-again Christians, we become the descendants of Abraham by faith. Let me read what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, I read, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You see, my dearly beloved, it says right here, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So the stars of heaven refers to the children of Abraham by faith. And verse 8 in the Galatians chapter 3 writes, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, my dearly beloved, the blessings come to us. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and it is because it is part of the blessings of Abraham, you see. As it is written in chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As a result, today, as Gentiles, even though we are not physically born as Jews, we are also considered his descendants as the stars of the heaven by faith, you see. We become the children of Abraham by faith. Now, the sand which is upon the seashore are physically the descendants of Abraham, the Jews, the Israelites today. For that reason, they are God's people. And today, as born-again Christians through Christ, we are also God's children and God's people. And of course, verse 18, it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And thy seed, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. It is through Christ Jesus that the whole world receives blessings. That our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born a Jew. And because our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, eternal salvation to all mankind came through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrections. And as a result, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Apostle John writes. So the question is this, my dearly beloved. Now that we have read the story of Abraham and his offering of Isaac, his very best unto the Lord God, let me ask you a question. What is your offering unto the Lord? Do you give him your very best? Or do you give him not so best, or the worst perhaps? You see, there are two kinds of offerings in the whole scripture. The offerings of Abraham, the offerings of Mary, who poured all her ointment, her precious expensive ointment, all on Jesus, or the offerings of Malachi, written in the book of Malachi. The lame, the cripple, the blind, the very worst offering instead of the very best offering. So there are two kinds of offering. One is the very worst, the offering of Malachi. And the other one is the very best, is the offering of Abraham or Mary. Now let me ask you a genuine question from your heart. Which of these two offerings do you think you have given unto the Lord? Have you given the Lord God your very best? Have you loved him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? Or have you just simply say, well, I get in heaven and I think I can qualify. That's good enough. The rest is not as a big deal. You see, the sheep of the Lord love our Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, and mind. But the goats, and of course the temporizers, love themselves. They're self-centered. They're selfish. All they care is themselves, even though the goat being born again Christians. But they continue to walk in their flesh simply because within their heart, it is not Christ-centered. They're still self-centered. That's how the devil taught Adam and Eve the very moment. Adam and Eve faltered and fell in sin and listened and obeyed the voice of Satan. As Satan says, you know, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When that selfishness, that self-centered temptation appealed to them, they fell right down through the drain and falter into the law of sin simply because they heard the voice of the power of darkness and become selfish and become self-centered. As a result, the whole nation, the whole world rather, and our economy and the whole mankind, the fallen mankind, are all operated on the basis of self-centeredness and selfishness and self-worship. Instead of worshiping our Lord God, the devil had taught us to self-worship ourselves. And every single man that is born in this world are born selfish. You see, we have committed so much sin, it is because we are selfish. It is because we are self-centered. If you look very carefully deep down in your heart, even as born-again Christians, especially the goats, they worship the Lord God on the outside, but deep down, they still worship themselves. My dearly beloved, let me ask you questions. Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Do you worship the Lord God from the standpoint of loving Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and thanking our Lord Jesus and being grateful eternally for what He had done? Or you do it, you go to church, spend that time to worship God in order for yourself to get in heaven. Now look down deep in your heart. What is your motive today? Are you the sheep or are you the goat? Both the sheep and the goat are born-again Christians. The only difference is the sheep is able to live a victorious life for Jesus simply because they are filled with the heart of Abraham, a heart of love of Christ. It is Christ-centered. It is the power of the risen Savior that drives them to the finish line. They no longer live for themselves. All they focus in their mind and heart and their lifestyle is Christ Jesus. However, the goat is the opposite. The goat, even though on the surface, worship God and born again of the Spirit of God, they refuse to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they falter in their flesh and continue to worship the world, and their heart is around the world instead of around Christ. And of course, they become unfruitful, and in the long run, they run into a danger of being a dried branch. Now, my dearly beloved, let me ask you a question. Which of these two do you think you belong? I pray that you walk like Abraham and offer like Abraham, like the sheep who is filled with the love of Jesus instead of the goat. Now, if you walk as a goat, may I petition with all my heart for you to repent of it, to repent of your selfishness, and to crucify your flesh, and to repent of loving the world, and be like Abraham, who loved the Lord God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and offered his very best of Isaac unto the Lord. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall conclude this message today with what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul had advised us and reminded us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the Apostle Paul is a saint and a sheep of the Lord. He had experienced the power of the risen Savior that lies in the love of Christ. As we obey and submit to the Holy Spirit and choose to love Him, the love of Christ will begin to fill each and every one of our heart as His sheep and as His saints. And the abundant life of Jesus Christ will flow through us, and we are driven to the finish line victoriously by the love of Christ. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. My dearly beloved, I pray today that you would receive the love of Jesus in your heart and be filled with it, that your mind and your heart all day long is filled with the love of Jesus. There's no question that you must attend the worldly things perhaps, the worldly affairs perhaps. However, if your heart is filled with the love of Jesus, no matter where you are, what you do, it doesn't make any difference. You will always live a life victoriously for the Savior, simply because the love of Christ is the fuel that drives the sheep victoriously. and be transformed to the image of his Son, isn't it? For that reason, the promise of God in Romans 8:28 writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You see, my dearly beloved, every single thing would always have worked out, whether it looks good or bad temporarily. It doesn't make difference whether it's a big problem or small problem or tribulations. Whenever you go through any kind of pain, it doesn't make difference. Ultimately, the Word of God guarantees us in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." As long as you're filled with the love of Jesus, everything that comes your way, it is always for our good to his glory. Amen. So don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let the power of darkness cause you to be afraid. Because the Word of God, his promises tell us that everything will always work out for our good to his glory. Keep that in mind and drill that motto of the Word of God, Romans 8:28, deep down in your heart and in your mind. And do not allow any power of negativity. Do not allow the threat, lies of Satan to come through across that promise. Take out the sword of the Word of God, Romans 8:28, and fight back with the shield of faith and fill your heart with the love of Jesus so that it will be glory to the Lord God. In the name of Jesus, that we are able to always glorify him and fill our heart with his love. My dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through the story of Abraham and the offering of his son Isaac. May you offer your best unto our Master and our Lord Jesus, always remembering his promises. As the scripture writes, "Eyes have never seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.